And welcome back to Side 2 of this cassette, the National Radio Club's DX audio service for May 1987. Hello, I'm Fred Vobey. One other address which I should pass along to you is Jerry Starr's new address. If you have any information or comments regarding the AM switch column, you should send it directly to Jerry Starr versus to us and then have us forward it on. Send your information for AM switch directly to Jerry Starr, S-T-A-R-R, care of WHOT Radio. The address is 4040 Simon, S-I-M-O-N, Road in Youngstown, Ohio. And the zip code is 44512-1320. And, of course, Jerry will be putting that information in both the National Radio Club's DX audio service and also in DX News magazine. Now let's switch it right over to Mr. Phil Wayne with a look at what's going on with MarketScope.
Thank you, Fred. This is MarketScope for May 1987, and I'm Phil Wayne. This month, we visit NRC member Steve Bauer in Wichita, Kansas, to check out AMs in the nation's 95th radio market. Steve, what do you have for us first?
Wichita has one daytime station at 900, which signed on the air in July 1958 with a country music format. In 1967, the ownership changed, new callers came on the air, and so did a rock and roll format. In August 1974, callers changed again, and country music returned. After the station sold in May 1977, it went silent for about 6 weeks. Then in July 1977, signed on the air with the callers KSGL, with a religious format, which it still has today.
Good morning. This is KSGL in Wichita, Kansas, signing on for another day of broadcasting God's Word and God's music. We hope you'll enjoy our programming throughout the day and that you'll continue your gracious support of our sponsors and programs. KSGL is owned and operated by Agape Communications. This is Sunshine Radio, KSGL, Wichita.
The 1988 race for the White House has lost one runner. New York Governor Mario Cuomo says
the market's only AM stereo station is at 1070 KFDI with a country music format. This station has had a dominant force in the market, although it tends to have at times a rather hicky and true country sound. Heavy on local news, weather, sports, and agribusiness, plus Paul Harvey, it's sometimes hard to find music squeezed in between the commercials. Simulcasting mainly overnight and until 8 a.m. during morning drive, the FM station breaks away and continues the basic format of the AM, but with a little more of a modern, updated approach. Morning drive man Mike Oatman, known on the air as Old Mike, has held that position for well over 15 years. In fact, if I was going to make a guess, I'd say he's probably been on the air for nearly 20.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Old Mike's Early Morning Show. That's Hank Williams, Jr. on KFDI. Moving on over is the name of it from Old Mike's Early Morning Show. We're glad to have you up and at 'em listening to KFDI wherever you are. Got a mess of country music to play for you this morning. Do our level bestest to get you up and at 'em. It's 6:08 in the morning time on KFDI. KFDI, FM and AM stereo, and a song called Maiden's Prayer, played for you by Clyde Brewer and the River Road Boys. River, can't talk this morning. River, make my lips work. River Road Boys. There we go. 6:42 in the morning time on KFDI at Old Mike's Early Morning Show. Dave Barker says you can expect sunny skies today up until noontime, then it gets cloudy. Hope this day is good. This is Don Williams at 6:42 in the morning, up to time for Sports Roundup on KFDI.
Relative humidity is 50% and dropping. Here at the Radio Ranch, our temperature reading right now, 50 degrees. I'm Jim Kobe, KFDI, Pony Express News.
Thank you, Jim. Excellent job, as always. Brought to you by Netco Construction, your friend in the remodeling business, and by Farhoff Sales, 808 West Harry.
Nobody does it.
Chair Show. Hey, I'm proud to have you listening.
You can hear him. I sang that and a whole bunch more coming up. That'll be this Friday night as Johnny Cash invades Wichita.
One of the older radio stations in Wichita at 1240 has seen several call letter changes. For many years, the station used KAKE, the same call letters used by a local TV station. When that station was sold, it changed its call to KAKZ, still using a middle-of-the-road and, for a while, the Music of Your Life formats. 2 years ago, the station was sold again. New owners changed the call letters to KRZZ, received special permission to simulcast full-time, and on the air, they call themselves KRZ. They started out with an oldies-type format with a little bit of current music mixed in, and within the last few months have switched to the classic rock and roll-type format. On the air, they identify themselves as FM 96 KRZ, dropping the last Z in their call letters and giving total disregard to the AM 1240. KRZ-AM is in total simulcast with its FM counterpart, except when local sports programming is being aired.
We brought classic rock and roll back to Wichita, 96 KRZ. Good morning, 606, 30 degrees.
And rock of our sweet baby Jane.
96 KRZ, Wichita's classic rock and roll, James Taylor, Sweet Baby James. Also, The Who, Jackson Brown, Easy Beats, Beatles, Doors, Chicago. Lots of great music. Half-hour nonstop classics, wrapping it up at 6:13 with Dave Phillips. And Belinda standing by with a 96-second update, Mike Life Sports, and we'll look at the Yankee weather forecast. And coming up at 6:30, I know that you know the big chill-out party is today, our premier chill-out party at the Ramada Hotel at Broadview Place. Hope you're making plans to join us after work. Well, we need to tell you something about the car. We'll do that at 6:30 this morning.
I cannot tell a lie.
With this 96-second update, I'm Belinda Johnson. The KRZ Cellular One Good Neighbor Network Traffic Watch not reporting any tie-ups or accidents as of yet this morning. For Mike Kennedy and Kathy Francis, I'm Belinda Johnson, and that's what's happening on 96 KRZ.
At 13:30 on the dial, Wichita's 13 Country, KFH, which is the oldest station in the city. In fact, it signed on the air in 1926. It's had the country music format since October 1978 and has been affiliated with CBS Radio since it came on the air. The station also has a strong commitment to local news.
Well, you just got to be a little more charitable in your heart. Lyle, put your hand on the radio. It's 24 past 6 o'clock, 624 at 13 Country KFH, and I'm in the mood to make you an instant winner right now if you've never been one before. I like to give folks a first-time chance to get through and win things with us, and I'd love to give you the chance to go to the movies and see the Academy Award-nominated movie Hannah and Her Sisters at Cinema East Theaters. If you're caller number 2... If you've never been a winner, at 436-1313, we'll make you one right now on KFH.
And we'll be joined by Mark Herndon of Alabama, Emmylou Harris, and Larry Gatlin. Be listening.
Tonight at 11 on Most Music Radio, 13 Country.
Good morning!
We have a first-time winner on the phone this morning, Cecil, and I want you to say good morning to Naomi Mercer.
Hello, Naomi.
Hello, Cecil.
How are you doing this morning?
Well, just fine.
You're not going to cry because we're not going to get any heavy snow, are you?
No, I'm not.
Bless you.
Thank you for not giving it to us.
If I had anything to do with it, I would accept that.
Okay.
And Naomi, you're to be congratulated this morning because you have been as nice to Cecil as anyone probably will be.
He's a nice person.
See there. See, listen to Naomi Hooter.
Are you sending her money?
Naomi's going to go to the movies.
Good.
To see Hannah and her sisters, and that's rated PG-13 and at Cinemas East. And I'll send a 13-country car star along with that, too.
Great.
So congratulations, and keep listening.
I will.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend. It's 27 past 6 and ceasing the weather this morning, brought to you by Augusta RV. It's 6:30 now at 13 Country, and time for the morning news with Roger and Wilson and team. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, John. Part of that team is Jeannie Morgan, who's standing by with a look at traffic. I'm Roger and Wilson on 13 Country KFH.
Hi, this is Teddy. I love you, Teddy.
Teddy's always the first one up. He knows a good deal when he sees it. Get breakfast ready, Mom.
Sweet country music.
The Atlanta group and sweet country music on 13 Country 18 till 7 o'clock with Hooter Myers and good morning, Gene Beaver. How are you this morning?
At 1410, the only all-oldie station in the market is KQAM. One of the owners is country singer Charlie Pride.
KQAM, where all the good songs have gone. 1410 KQAM, Martha Navandela's Love's Like a Heat Wave Burning in My Heart. 6:49, not going to be a heat wave today, but it is going to be a fairly nice day if you don't mind a little occasional rain, which is predicted for this morning. High near 52. Let's see, this is a pretty famous day in history. On this day, just 2 years ago, it was the, you remember David Crosby, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young? Yeah, that's right. This was the first day in 1985 of his unsupervised daytime work plan at his drug treatment center in Texas, and he didn't come back. They captured him the next day. So drinking today is in honor of David Crosby. All right, 6:49. 1410 KQAM, Billy Swan and the Divers. I can help 4 minutes before 7 o'clock. This is Dave Conley on the radio.
3 months ago.
Thanks a lot, Merrill. Right now in Wichita, we do have light rain continuing, 43 degrees. I'm Laurie Roberts at 434 on 1410 KQAM.
Jamie is kind of like 10 million Chinese soldiers marched through your mouth.
Ooh.
And the last 9 million camped out overnight, okay? it's got a little wang to it, okay?
Wang?
It's good, but it's kind of wangy.
Have you ever had water buffalo?
Not water buffalo. I've had, buffalo. Not Buffalo Bob, but, just regular old buffalo.
Now, everybody I know that has tried buffalo says they can't tell the difference between that and regular beef. Can you?
At the fair, they always have buffalo burgers,
uh-huh.
Okay? And you go over there and you stand over there and you watch everybody and they, kind of sitting around like, hey, this is pretty good stuff, man. Wow, it tastes just like a hamburger.
So why do you buy buffalo burgers?
Because
they're 56% lower in cholesterol than regular beef. So you learn something new every day.
Oh, yeah, but my stomach doesn't know that. It's a garbage cat, dear.
You're right.
I'm going to take it for a walk. I smell something cooking down the hallway. See you at 5.
I love Heine. In the springtime, I love Heine. In the fall, I love Heine. In the summer, when it sizzles, grab a Heine. You'll have a ball.
Rick Gannon.
Thank you, William.
Ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Thank you, William. Wichita's home, good old rock and roll.
What's the problem now?
We're going in early here, okay?
That's
in case
fine.
You're listening up.
Oh, well, I'm not ready.
I have to. Well, in fact, we can't discuss it.
Okay.
Because I don't
well,
have...
Well, we just won't then.
I'll see you later.
Okay.
Ooh, bye.
Uh-oh. Thank you. We do have drizzle, 42 degrees. Can't take the heat, sue them.
At 1480, KLEO has the music of your life. The station actually began broadcasting as KANS in 1936 on 1240. And in 1940, it moved to 1480 and increased its power from 100 watts to 5,000 day and 1,000 night. On May 1st, 1960, the call letters KLEO hit the air on 1480 with a top 40 format. In 1980, things had changed. The top 40 format on AM was not doing too well. The station's call letters were changed to KWKN, and they adopted a news and information and adult-oriented format. Just 2 years later, that format was dropped. And in 1982, the call letters KLEO were applied for and obtained by the station. They've had the Music of Your Life format since September 1984. Many of the announcers and sales staff that are currently with KLEO had been with the old KAKE and KAKZ at 1240, who had also run the Music of Your Life format.
Mostly cloudy KLEO skies and 30 KLEO degrees. That's the 1480 forecast on a Friday Miller time.
And here's the one about the player with the group therapy softball team for paranoids.
Yeah.
Every time he stole second, he felt so guilty, he'd go back to first. He did.
Al Jolson, this is 1480 KLEO Miller time, 6:55. 5 minutes before 7 o'clock, our time. Temperature, 30 degrees. There is some snow starting to happen in south-central Kansas. As a matter of fact, the radar summary just issued indicates the snow area was 80 miles wide south of a line from near St. John's to near Hutchinson to just south of Marion, Kansas. The snow area will likely move toward the northeast. That's the weather word. Some snow, not around St. John's and near Hutchinson. Let's have a little music from Don Cornell on 1480 KLEO from the motion picture Susan Slept Here. Hold My Hand.
That's Hankins Cove for another month. A big DX Audio Service thank you goes out to Steve Bauer for doing most of the work this time around. If you would like to help profile your market, I would like to hear from you. Please write to me at the DX Audio Service. For MarketScope, this is Phil Wayne.
Thank you very much, Phil. And if you'd like to write to Phil with any comments, bouquets, or brickbats concerning the Market Scope column, or if you'd like to contribute some material to the Market Scope, you can write to Phil at 128 Elmwood, E-L-M-W-O-O-D Avenue, in Syracuse, S-Y-R-A-C-U-S-E, New York. Zip code is 13207. And that's Market Scope for this edition of the DX Audio Service.
WCPO 1230 Cincinnati.
Most of you recognized that announcement. For those that didn't, it was the propagation forecast broadcast by WWV at 18 minutes past each hour, and it serves as an introduction to this month's topic, sunspots. The subject came up when Fred sent us a reprint from WB8JEY in the March 87 DX column of the Delaware Amateur Radio Association's newsletter. The article relates that two well-known DXers, N4XX and KH6BZF, are both mentioning that the sunspots are changing polarity. What does this mean? In all past history of sunspot cycles, at the bottom of one cycle and the start of another, when the sunspots start to increase, there's been a change of polarity of the sunspots. Everyone is hoping that's what this indication means, that we are about to start cycle 22, and we will see that increase in the number of sunspots each month. The average number of sunspots for December 86 was 6.4. By comparison, November 86 was 14.7. Before we all start celebrating the hoped-for increase, let's add a bit of skepticism to this. Going by the calendar, the sunspot cycle should not be over for maybe 6 months or so yet. Why such an interest in the sunspots? Simply this. The sunspots have a tremendous effect on medium wave and short wave radio propagation, and knowledge of the sunspots can benefit the ham and broadcast band listener alike. While the sunspots remain a key indicator of solar activity, recently a more useful indicator of solar activity is the solar flux index. Solar flux noise is measured on various frequencies in many places. A 2800 megahertz measurement made at 17 hours UT daily in Ottawa, Canada, is transmitted hourly by WWV. Because it is essentially current information and directly related to the sunspot number, it tends to displace sunspot count as a means of predicting propagation. Now let's go past these generalities and into the specifics of how this information can be applied to our ham and medium wave DXing. First, we must realize the general effect of solar activity is to determine what frequencies will propagate well. At high solar activity levels, the peaks of sunspot cycles, higher frequencies will come into their own. Lower activity dictates use of lower frequencies. Right now, at the low point of the cycle, we have the best occurrence of medium wave DX, and the upper bands are often practically useless. An interesting note is that the cycles tend to go up quickly and come down slowly. In all likelihood, the past broadcast band season has been the best sunspot-wise in this cycle, and next season should still be very good. Shortly thereafter, broadcast band propagation will become less frequent for worldwide DX. Despite general conditions, however, the important thing is to use propagation data to our advantage on a regular basis. Let's look at how we can do this. As far as it affects most radio propagation, the solar activity we're concerned with is of two kinds, ultraviolet light and charged particles. Ultraviolet light travels at the speed of light, as do all forms of electromagnetic radiation. So any ultraviolet effects develop simultaneous to increases in the observed solar noise. The particle radiation moves more slowly, and it may take up to 40 hours before that can affect radio propagation. Its principal effects are high absorption of radio energy and the production of auroras, both visual and the radio variety. Unusual eruptions on the sun can cause disturbances in the ionosphere, called ionospheric storms. These are accompanied by disturbances in the Earth's magnetic fields, called magnetic storms. Storms of this type are most frequent during the sunspot cycle peak, but they can happen at any time. They have great effect on radio communications. The practical result of the storm is lowering the maximum usable frequency and raising the lowest usable frequency. The storms vary in intensity and duration, and they may last from 1 to several days. Important in predicting propagation is realizing that some solar events tend to reoccur at predictable intervals. The rotational period of the sun is about 27 days, and activity influencing radio propagation may recur at approximately 27-day intervals for 4 or 5 solar rotations. During magnetic storms, aurora activity becomes more pronounced and extends farther down from the polar regions than is normally the case. During abnormal aurora conditions, a peculiar form of wave propagation is frequently observed by hams, in which the auroral curtain acts as a reflector. Waves directed toward the polar regions will be reflected back. They can be used for communication on frequencies and distances normally not usable. When this condition exists, it's necessary, if you're using a directive antenna, to point both the transmitting and receiving antennas toward the polar regions rather than on the normal path between the stations. Broadcast band DXers can utilize the aurora differently. With absorption levels high in polar regions, stations to the north may be received at weaker than normal levels or not received at all. This makes unusual receptions to the south possible due to the reduced interference. The phenomena is seen more as you approach the polar regions, and it extends southward different distances based on the level of the aurora. While the effect is non-existent in the tropics, it does occur at the mid-latitudes, although not with the frequency observed closer to the poles. Try using the A index in WWV's forecast to predict aurora conditions. The higher the A index number, the greater the effect that's likely, and the farther from the polar region the effect should be observed. Remember that DX News publishes the A index data from recent weeks, and we've just learned that some of the effects will reoccur at 27 or 28 day intervals based on solar rotation. While most broadcast band DX is a wintertime phenomena, December and January are unfortunately the least likely times to produce aurora, but March and September are the peak seasons, and that's perfect really since these are the ideal times for the signal paths to the southern hemisphere to be opening. Check the A index frequently though. Solar events can occur any time and without warning. The reverse effect is also true. Not only does a high A index help predict southern reception, but a low A index can predict good northern conditions. A better chance of the 14 megahertz over the pole path for our hams into Central Asia, or a southern listener on the broadcast band can get a far north station when they experience less local D-level absorption due to a low A index. Well, that's all we have time for on a subject that's way too big for a short report. We'll go out here with the W1AW propagation report and let you hear what that sounds like. 73's till next time. This is Harry Dents for the DX Audio Service.
And that's our look at the amateur radio column on this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. And one thing I'd like to point out before we get off the subject of ham radio, and that is Harry's not the only licensed radio amateur on the staff of the DX Audio Service. There are several members and also editors within the National Radio Club, which are licensed amateur operators. And perhaps one of these days we can get together with some kind of net or something. But, for example, Bob Walker is a licensed ham. And I forget his call right now, which is kind of a sad thing to say, but John Boker, for example, is WA2WEN. I myself am just received my license about 2 weeks ago. My call sign is KB8BMQ. And Steve Bauer, who helped out with this edition of the Market Scope, his call sign is KC0HF. So perhaps some of us can get together on the amateur radio bands one of these days. Speaking of Bob Walker, it's time now for a look at Anarchon 86. Here's Bob.
Once again at Anarchon 86 on the DX Audio Service, and it's been quite an experience for me here meeting so many people, and one of the people I've got sitting with me right now is... the name probably is not familiar, as it was just brought up just moments ago on Saludos Amigos from HCJB, the World Radio TV Handbook, which I'm sure most DXers, if at least don't own several copies, they've at least seen a copy of it. And Jens Frost is the founder of the World Radio TV Handbook, or I guess maybe let you better explain it before I get myself dug in.
That was an editor in Denmark who founded it immediately after the war. And when I got involved in it, that was because in 1947 I bought a new shortwave set with seven shortwave bands, which was very seldom at that time. And then I started to listen to foreign broadcasts, and one day I saw in one of the daily newspapers in Denmark, the leading newspaper, a list of broadcasts in Danish from foreign stations. So I was checking, I was tuning in, and soon I discovered that's a very good list, but there's a lot more. That was only partly. So I wrote to this editor. His name was Lund Johansen. He was at the leading daily newspaper at that time, and said, wrote to him a letter. It's a nice list you have, but there's something missing. And after a few weeks, I got a friendly letter from him. He had received my letter, and he had thought about this. He would invite me to come and see him because he thought we may have common interests. I didn't know what to do, but after a few days I wrote him back, okay, I'll come and see you. And we agreed to meet at a time. And when I came out to his house, he showed me the first the first two, three copies of the book he had produced that was that time called the World Radio Handbook for Listeners. And he said, could you assist me with some of that? It would really be good for the book. I didn't know at that time what to say, but I said, I'll give you an answer a little later. And after, I think, 2 weeks, I wrote him a letter, say, okay, just give me a little. I had a job at that time as journalist. I was trained as a journalist. And we agreed to do that. And then we started. He gave me some of the material which I should handle. And that was the way the ball was rolling. And then I got more and more involved in it. And when he was, I think, 70, he retired. And I became responsible for the contents of the handbook. It was in 64. And now we write 86, so that's 22 years where I have been responsible for the contents.
But you pretty much have been with it since day one. I guess I should have said this is the 40th anniversary.
Yes, that's right. I was not involved in the first three editions. I first came in the picture in 49, when he had just published the third edition.
So you've been there for 40 years, I guess, or I should say 37 years.
Yeah,
what's the biggest change you've seen in the 37 years?
First of all, I must say, all those small commercial stations in Latin America and certain parts of Asia as well, Philippines, Indonesia. Indonesia is a very difficult chapter, as you probably have seen the book, to get absolutely correct. But there again, we have to rely on corroborators and monitors living in that era.
It's, I know that going through the book, there's quite a list of contributors and monitors, and I know that you're always anxious to hear from people with information pertaining to it. If someone had information, where would be a good place for them to send it so that you would get the information?
Just send it to our editorial office. You see, our address is given on the title page in the handbook.
Okay. One other quick question, because I know there's several people waiting for you, I'm sure. When you DX, do you have a chance to DX?
I have a little chance. I have three different Sony portables to listen on, plus a satellite, a Grundig satellite. And people say to me when they come and visit me, what? Is that all the equipment you have? Yes, I said, I can't afford to have two sophisticated receivers. Then I would never get a book out. Then I will sit with my head in the radio all day long. So I actually do a little listening, sometimes in the morning and sometimes in the evening, just to check how the bands are, if we can hear something, or sometimes they are totally dead. But that's very little, but I enjoy that when I have this opportunity at the end of the day.
You know, it's been interesting here meeting everyone, because here are several people who have taken a hobby and a love and turned it into a profession, and I think I speak for all DXers when I say thank you, and hope that you have another 40 years putting out the World Radio TV Handbook.
I doubt. But anyway, it has been nice to be here, and that has been a convention of real great surprises for me personally.
Well, I guess I should ask one more thing. I know that your wife accompanied you on the trip, and we don't see many wives at the Anarchons or at any radio conventions. Is she ready to come back again?
If we can afford it and we have the opportunity, we'll probably do it. But it's too early for me to say at this moment.
Anyway. Jens Frost, thank you very much for joining us here on the DX Audio Service at Anarchon.
Thank you as well. All the best.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank Bob Walker for recording that interview at Anarchon 86. And if you'd like to pass along some comments or perhaps some suggestions for Bob to record some interviews at Anarchon 87, you can write to Bob Walker at this address, 45605 Timberlane Court. That's spelled T-I-M-B-E-R-L-A-N-E, and that's apartment 204, Walled Lake, W-A-L-L-E-D, L-A-K-E, two words, Michigan, and the zip code is 48088-3128, and I'm sure Bob will enjoy hearing from you. We often get news stories from a lot of the members who record information for us from different parts of the spectrum, both shortwave, AM, FM, and also off satellites. I have this particular piece, which was sent in by one of our members, and it's very interesting. It concerns pirate radio. Let's give it a listen.
Radio is a tenuous medium. It depends on electronics. Sound is the only link between the speaker and the listener. We're always a twist of the dial away from oblivion. But somehow, despite its fragility, when you scale the band, each stop seems familiar, each station a distinct personality. The radio almost never surprises you. Regulation prohibits anarchy on the airwaves. There are those stations that violate the rules, pirate stations, radio stations that shoehorn themselves between legal operators, insinuating their presence like a stranger at a wedding. Marco Adler in New York reports on one such station.
Pirate radio station that transmitted on 1620 AM for 16 months. It was operated out of a small bedroom less than 10 feet square in a housing project in Brooklyn by Perry Cavallari and John Calabro, age 21 and 18. In person, Perry and John are quiet and shy, but as Larry McRae and Hal Hall, they exuded professional confidence as they took phone calls from as far away as North Carolina and New Hampshire and operated a late-night talk show interspersed with rock and comedy, and they had an audience.
All righty, that was a caller from Falls Church, Virginia, right here at WFAT, and let's move on, and we have a call. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
Yes, Fat Radio?
Yes, long distance, huh?
Yes. Living in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire?
Yeah, oh my goodness, we listen to you folks quite regularly up here. You come on, about 3 o'clock or something like that. We turn on the morning.
I'm on the air?
Yeah.
Really? I'm on the air too in Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, I'm on the air right now doing a segue.
Oh, you're at a radio station?
Yeah.
A real one?
A real one. That's why I can't say who I am.
Oh, okay. Can you say the station?
No, I can't.
Okay.
The FCC is right at our doorsteps, you know?
Oh, okay.
You seem to be a legend in pirate radio, from what I've been able to ascertain, and a lot of people call up the other pirates and ask about WFAT.
Well, that's why we keep coming back.
Do you ever play music on the station?
Yes, we do. You know, I play music to take a break. We even have jingles.
Look, I'm calling from Alexandria, Virginia. I've listened to a few shortwave pirates in my time, but I didn't know that 1620 provided such a rich crop of interesting broadcasting. The stations I've heard in shortwave have been Radio Free Harlem. That was back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Radio Clandestine, which pops up from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
The Voice of the Purple Pumpkin, and Love Music Radio, and a few others.
It all started when Perry and John were 18 and 15, as Perry tells it.
One night way back when, tuning around the FM dial looking for something interesting to listen to, I came across an FM pirate. And I found it kind of interesting. He was taking phone calls, live phone calls, and playing progressive rock music. And the quality wasn't so great. And I told John about it. I said, you got to come here and listen to this. So we both heard it, and we said, I think we could do at least a good a job as he's doing.
They finally got hold of an AM transmitter from another radio pirate and decided to go on the air.
So then in December of 1975, December 14th, he got it to work. We set up an antenna, and we went on as WCPR, 1620 AM.
Why CPR?
Well, CPR stood for, well, Pirate Radio was the PR, and C is the first initial of my last name.
Free Speech Radio, this is WCPR, 1620 AM in Brooklyn, New York, and we're serving the eastern United States and whoever else can hear us. And my name is John Doe. The name of this show is The John Doe Show, and I'm going to be here with Perry Harris, taking some phone calls and playing some music and comedy.
You're dialed at 1620 WCPR.
Illegal to buy a transmitter or own one, but operating one is illegal. WCPR was busted after 7 weeks, and it wasn't until 1.5 years later that they returned to the air as WFAT.
You're listening to Free Speech Radio on WFAT.
For 16 months, they were considered the most technically sophisticated pirates ever to broadcast in America. But finally, a former friend turned them in by writing a complaint to the FCC. On Easter Sunday morning, after a caller began to talk about his pet peeve, disco, the FCC arrived.
I've had it with it, and I got to voice my opinion on the air here. Now, I got to ask you a quick prediction.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to win the Stanley Cup this year?
I have to make an announcement. WFAT, we'll leave the phone lines open. WFAT has to leave the air. My name is Larry McRae.
My name is Hal Hall.
We don't know when we'll be back,
but it's been nice.
Hang on.
It's been nice, and we want to thank everybody out there. We had a real good time. We hope we served need. Look for us in the future.
Hopefully someday we'll be back. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. This is WFAT leaving the air. Bye-bye.
Signing off.
So much for WFAT. But in their clandestine studio, the tape was still running.
Black guy and a skinny guy, one side, they're running. They're running up here. Yes. Wow. Listen. Hello, WFAT. Yes. No, this is Hal. The FCC is on its way up. They're here. So I just want to let you know that, okay?
Henry Paulson is the chief engineer in the New York office. I didn't know it was him until he whipped out his ID card, and I was very paranoid when I saw his name. I opened the door, and they came in. They said, you have a very nice-sounding radio station. They said, you have a lot of listeners, lots of calls. They like what you're doing. They said, can we see a radio station? So then I gave him a tour, guided them in here, and Henry went right to the transmitter. He took out this huge flashlight and started going in there, feeling the tubes and looking inside, and he looked, he says, what brand is it? And he turned it around and he looked at the brand. Oh, they make very good equipment, very nice. What else did they say?
The other agent was very obnoxious.
Oh,
he
yes.
just kept trying to explain to us that what we were doing was illegal and there's no way we can do it legally. And any time we got him stuck, we would ask him questions, and when he didn't have the answer, he'd just say, that's not the point. It's illegal. You can't do it. And Henry just said, why don't you, you're a very bright and ambitious young man. You should get into CB or HAM. And we said, well, we don't want to be on CB. We want to be on AM or FM. And the obnoxious agent said, you can't do it. It's illegal.
I told him, I don't want to talk to other CBers or other HAMs. I want to talk to people. They wouldn't understand that. So then he called up Washington on my phone, collect. He called the WRCA. He says, I'm standing in the studio of WRCA. Then the other guy said, no, it's FAT, FAT. No, it's FAT, and I'm standing right next to the transmitter. The young gentleman can hear every word I'm saying. I'm trying to convince them to get into radio legally, and he's going through all that. And then he made us promise. He says,
Says you promise never to do this again? And I didn't answer.
He said, this is Washington you're talking to. This is serious.
We're not playing games here. We're serious. You can go to jail for this.
This was the obnoxious one was saying this.
At present, Perry and John, or Larry McRae and Hal Hall, are hoping to get a legal station.
I'd like to thank the member who sent in that particular report for us to the DX Audio Service. However, inadvertently, I lost a little slip of paper which had the name on it. So to our unknown member of the DX Audio Service, thank you very much for contributing and sharing that particular article with us here on the DX Audio Service. And perhaps that unknown member will come forward and let us know so we can put their name here on the audio service and give them a special thank you for sending in that particular article on Pirate Radio. Speaking of membership, we have 7 people which are going to need to renew their membership to the DX Audio Service. Their membership runs out with the next edition. Be sure to check your label and make sure that you're not one of those so that you don't miss any future editions of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. And above all, remember, if you have any bouquets or brickbats, be sure to let us know here at the DX Audio Service. That's it for the May edition of the DX Audio Service.
CKRD, Red Deer Valley.